So Joshua chapter 4 is where we'll be tonight. I just want to maybe review a little bit here, and this is a relatively short chapter, so but just a review, right? That here's Joshua, Moses' understudy. He would take over for Moses, and certainly was the man that God placed there, as Moses would pray that he would. And certainly a big responsibility to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And I guess any pastor worth his salt is looks at Joshua and thinks, woe is me, right? That we would lead people into that relationship with God. And then Joshua would send, you know, after God encourages him, right, to be strong and courageous, Joshua would send spies into the land, this time so that Israel would understand how to enter into the land that God had given them, and would use a no other than would he use a sinner, right? Just as he uses sinners today, right? But he would use this prostitute to really house the spies. And of course, Israel would have favor on her and her family as they came into Jericho. And Jericho would be that place in which they would cross. And of course, this past Sunday, we looked at Joshua chapter 3 and just how God had made a way there. He had heaped the waters up to the city of Adam, some 20 miles upstream. They couldn't see it. They had to stick their feet in the water and pray, I'm sure, that God would push back the water for them so that they could cross. And as we look at the Jordan there, you know, the Jordan today is different. Of course, it flows differently in the spring and in the fall. And the spring waters would flood, and even Scripture here says that it would flood and over their banks, right? And so God would take all those waters, which were, they wouldn't even be able to withstand the current, right? They wouldn't be able to withstand the current from pushing them upstream or downstream, I guess, into the Dead Sea. And I you get a good picture of here of the raging waters of the Jordan, and you can say that's life, right? When we stick our feet in the water, boy, we better be praying. When we're in the world, you know, we need to be praying, or else the world will sweep us downstream, and we'll end up in the Dead Sea. In a sense, we'll be eternity damned, right? And it's interesting, you know, as we said on Sunday, that God would push this water up to the city of Adam, and it would give us a understanding that God did this for all generations, that Jesus would come to save the lost for all generations. And it's just a neat parallel there. So when we look at chapter 4 here, we'll look at what's titled the Memorial Stones, right? It's good to have memorial stones in the sense that to remember what the Lord has done for us, right? I think we all have the memorial stones. We can look back at that time in which God brought us across the Jordan, right? I remember myself, kind of a foolish thing, but I just remember sitting next to the Racket River when I was drunk. And I remember God just, you know, and God just saying to me very clearly to my spirit, Fred, you need to make a decision. You need to make a decision who you're going to serve. And that day was it changed things for me because he spoke to my heart. And I listened. You know, it wasn't just that God spoke to me, but it was that I listened. You know, and I think back, I look at that and I said, gee, you know, what shape would I have been in today if I hadn't listened? It was a turning point in my life, right? It was the time in which I sat beside the Jordan and God said, I want you to put your feet in the water. I want you to trust me, even with the things that you can't see. And I think he asks us as his children even today to do that, right? That we need to just trust him for them things that we just can't see. Isn't that what Hebrews 11 there would say, right? Is that, you know, we can't. It's the substance of things not seen. You know, that is faith. You know, and sometimes we try to, you know, figure it all out, right? And God says, I don't want you to figure it all out. I still want to be your God. Right? If we had it all figured out, we wouldn't need him. Right? Or at least we would think we wouldn't need him. Because wretched sinners still need a Savior. And so, but memorial stones, you know, there's a couple examples of memorial stones here that we'll see in this chapter. And it's pretty neat because it's a way to remember all that God had done for them and brought them through, really, and how he did it. You know, it's not necessarily just for saying, I was this and now I am that, right? Or I was that and now I'm this, right? That God changed my life. That's all well and good. But I think the memorial stones here are to show God's faithfulness. It's more than just that he changed lives. Of course he changed lives. He's God, right? Of course he did something for the nation of Israel, but the fact here is that through it all, God was faithful. And that's what we gotta see. Today even, right? Because see what happens later on in Joshua is that things don't necessarily turn so rosy. Right? There's wars and wars. There's all this warfare. And don't we experience that today even in our lives, right? Right? Why don't we sleep at night? I hear that a lot from people. I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping. Well, last night I was dreaming that bears were chasing me. And I'm not sure, but I think they went into Jonathan's room about 2:00 in the morning. He woke up crying. Adam texted me today and said, how are you guys doing? I asked him, how are you guys feeling and stuff? They're doing much better and the kids are fine, are healthy. They didn't seem to get affected by it. Praise the Lord, right? So he texts back and he said, how are you guys doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good, but I'm unusually tired today. And I got thinking about it. It's probably because I was getting run down by some bears last night. Ever have them strange movies or them strange dreams? It's crazy. But I do think that there's an attack from the enemy on our sleep. You know, wants to get us tired. Wants to get us tired. I could hardly make it through the day today. I got about 3:00 and I was thinking, I'm never going to make it through the day. I was so tired. But here I am, right? And I don't really feel, I even asked the Lord, you know, as I was eating supper tonight, Lord, you gotta give me some strength because I really have none. And he did, you know. Praise the Lord. But anyways, here's Israel. The priest actually on the edge of the Jordan, carrying the ark, really the representation there contained within the ark of the Lord Almighty. And by faith they would step into the Jordan. And God would take them waters and stand them up so that they would stand on dry land and enable Israel to cross. So here we pick up in verse 1, and it said, "It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood." Isn't that specifically, you know, as we see this, right? Specifically, God says, I want you to take the stones, not just anywhere out of the Jordan, but I want you to take them where the priest stood, right? Where they stood. And why was that? It was to recall their faithfulness, right? Their trust in the Lord. So that later, when we get into the warfare and stuff, we can look back and we can go, see, these guys trusted in the Lord, and guess what? Did he deliver? Absolutely, he delivered. So we can look back on those things and we can say, you know, they're for our own benefit, right? Because God knows that we are a weak vessel. He's going to use us, but we're weak. We get discouraged easily, right? Somebody, you know, looks at us cockeyed and we think they're mad at us, right? When most of the time, they just didn't sleep last night, right? So God wants this for an encouragement for his people. So out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. He stood firm. It wasn't that they moved. God didn't move them. You know, he moved them to stand there, but the river didn't move them. They stood there. And here's the water flowing past them. Have you ever stood in a river or in the sea or the ocean, and you're standing there and the wave comes in and the wave goes out and you feel the sand underneath your feet just kind of move? Not here. That didn't happen. Because God said they stood there firm. Why? Because they rested on the Lord. See, when we don't rest on the Lord, we're not going to be firm. We're not going to stand firm. "You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men from whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? You say, opportunity, right? Opportunity to share with my kids. When your kids say, Dad, what is this picture from? Right? Where is this picture from? And you can say, oh, let me tell you where that came from. That was when I was newly saved and God was doing some exciting things in my life, and he spoke to me and we did this. You know, it's a time to teach our kids the faithfulness of God, even though they haven't experienced that before. "Then you shall answer them that the water of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, then when it crossed over the Jordan, the water of the Jordan was cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So, it was a, as we've said before, right, it wasn't their testimony, it was God's testimony. When God does a work in our life, it's not our testimony. You know, when somebody says, can you give your testimony, you can politely say, no, I cannot, but I can give God's testimony of what He's done in my life, right? We need to continue to give God the credit for all that. So, these stones were used as an illustration of God's faithful hand as He brought Israel over. And it was specifically aimed to educate, you would say, their children in faith who God is, right? It would give a character reference to God. You know, so many times when we write our resume or we apply to for a job, we want somebody's references, right? We always ask people, will you be my reference? Well, we are God's reference. We are God's reference. We are His testimony of His goodness. Because there is no good in us. So we in a sense, are these empty, hopefully we've been emptied of our sin, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and now encapsulated in us is God. His essence, His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace. And it should all overflow and it should all abound in us. Right? His joy. Right? Somebody, they ought to see Jesus when they look at me. They should say, I know what God looks like. I was listening at lunchtime today. I was listening on FLN. They had a kind of a commentary on, you know, it was a lunch hour, and they were talking about Christianity versus Muslims. And Ravi Zacharias, one of his guys that works with him, used to be a Muslim, and so they had him on, and they were talking about the differences, right? But see, he came to be a Christian because as a Muslim, he didn't see God's reality. He saw all the fear of God. He saw all the hatred of God. You know, he never saw the love of Christ. He never saw someone that put his life on Calvary for him, that died for him. He never really saw the true and loving God. But when he did, see, he came to know Him. See, that's who we are. We're saved by His goodness. We're saved by His grace. And we're these living testimonies of God. We're in a sense, these memorial stones, right? What was Peter called? He was called a rock, yeah. Stone, pebble, sand, dust. I mean, that's us probably, you know, a little dust. I want to be a little bigger rock than I am. But we're living stones. We're living stones. We're living memorials for the Lord. We're testimonies to Him. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. The stones were to be taken to the place in which they lodged, or we would say today, the place which I live. I want to take it to my house. I want to take the testimony of the Lord. I want to take His testimony to my house and show my kids that. And it was a reminder to them of God's tremendous power that He has to get us through anything, to get us over anything, you know, to hold evil away from us. You know, He has the power in his hands to do these tremendous things. For Israel, it was to heap the waters up some 20 miles from where they were, 25 or so miles to where they from where they were. And if you look at it, you say, did they deserve this? Absolutely not. Right? None of us deserve what the Lord has done for us. I mean, if we look at Him going to the cross, we didn't deserve that. We deserved ourselves going to the cross. Right? But to give them what He had promised. See, He's faithful, right? He promised this way back in Genesis, Abraham's time, yet He carried it all the way through, right to this point, and now He brings them in, fulfills the promise that He had promised so many years ago. I wonder what would happen if Israel was faithful, if God would have given this land to them earlier. But they weren't. They didn't trust them. But this set of priests that stepped upon the river, they trusted him. Right? So that was the first memorial. So the second one starts in verse 9. It says, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. Of course, it's speaking of the day that this was written. But what's the significance of this one? The one was to take it to their children, to take it to where they lodged, to take it to their families, you know. So that the families would remember the faithfulness of the Lord. But this one was for the faithfulness for the nation. This was to remind Israel that the Lord was there. Right? Because remember what we said. We said earlier is that as they go into this land, they're going to experience certain things that none of us, you know, when we're in our hate, when we're loving life, right, we're not thinking about what's going to happen bad to us next. Right? Oh, I'm so in love with the Lord. How many times have you heard that from somebody? Oh, I love the Lord, and they come and they worship every Sunday until something goes wrong. And then something goes wrong, they look around and they go, God must not be faithful. God must not love me. God's grace isn't big enough. His mercy doesn't go on forever. Right? And all of a sudden, they're discouraged. And they look away from the Lord. And they look towards their problems. And they think God isn't big enough to solve their problems. So what was Joshua doing here? It was setting up a memorial to remind the kids of God that, hey, when you look at that river in a time of drought, when there's drought, and when you look at that river and you see those stones, you just remember God's faithfulness. God is faithful to the end. Right? So for us to remember back and say, God, you gave me that scripture. I remember you giving me that scripture. You told me to do this, Lord. It's not very easy right now. But I know that you told me to do this. I have proof. I have your word. You know, when I quit from World Kitchen, there's been many and many a times when my humanness wants to go back to that career. But I know God spoke to me. And I can go back to His word. His word is a reminder to us. Is a memorial. Right? His word is a memorial. And it reminds us of God's faithfulness. It reminds us of God's leading. And it helps us to not get caught up in the moment. not to get caught up in, I don't feel good today, therefore God's less faithful today. Or, you know, I'm discouraged by something or somebody, therefore God is less than he was yesterday. He's not as encouraging today as he was yesterday to me. When we have something to stand on, specifically God's Word, that's a reminder to us. It's a memorial to us. Right? Just as we remembered Bob, right? We remembered Bob here a couple months ago where we, you know, gee, you know, it's a good memories and stuff. God blessed us with a man that, you know, had these qualities and character, and we remember that, but remember God that way. God is faithful. He brought us across the Jordan. He's faithful. And we need to be reminded of these historic events in our lives. We need to be reminded when God gave me that scripture, where I was. Any time that God's spoke to my heart, sometimes I've been seeking it, and often I'm not seeking an answer. I'm just doing my devotions. I'm just doing my relationship with Him. I'm just getting to know Him, and He speaks to my heart through the Scriptures. Verse 10, so the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. I like that. See, the priest said, you know what? They looked at God's faithfulness as they stood there. And they said, and I don't know what their response was exactly and how they went about it, but I imagine when they first stepped into Jordan, knowing the current was there, that they were a little tentative, maybe. Maybe they were. Maybe they have more faith than I do. But they step into Jordan thinking, what is this water going to do? And then they see the power of God. They don't even see it. They just, it's like the wind, right, that blows the tree. We see the effects. But they didn't really see that big heap of water flow over. They just knew it happened because the river was dry. And so when they stood there and the people hurried through, and I'm thinking that maybe some of the people weren't thinking God would hold the water back long enough. And I'm sure God maybe even thought afterwards, I had my chance with some of them. But He didn't, right? He wanted to get them all across. And there the priest stood, and it says right there, it says, until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak. You know, they stood there until everything was finished. They trusted Him right to the end. Right until the Lord told them to move on. Then it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. Isn't that a true leader? You know, you look at these priests, they're standing right there. They're in harm's way in a sense. The flood waters could come and wipe them out. But they stand there for the sake of the people. They don't grumble about, well, gee, you know, the people aren't doing this and the people aren't doing that. And why do I have to always stand in the middle of the river? Why am I always the one dipping my foot in first? You know, but they're faithful men. They're faithful men, and I think God calls faithful men still to stand in the midst, to stand in the gap. then the men of Reuben, the men of God, of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh, crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken. Remember, we had talked about them, guys. They wanted their land on the east side of the Jordan, and Moses made a deal with them. Said, "You fight for Israel, you can have that land." Right, and so Joshua was just upholding that, and they were upholding it. The men there were about 40,000 prepared for war, crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. It kind of gives you a picture of there of our Savior, how God exalted him. And now we follow him, right? After he has done what he did on Calvary. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan." Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, "Come up from the Jordan." And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. So they would stay in the river until all had passed by. And they stood there really in the presence of the Lord, and how important it is to, when we stand someplace, to stand in His presence, right? If we want to be effective. And they didn't move. They didn't move until the Lord had commanded them. And when the Lord had commanded them to move and they put their feet upon the dry land, God restored the river, the water in the river. So we see there again the Lord's faithfulness. Verse 19, "And now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set in Gilgal." Gilgal was the base, you would say, for their operation of conquest, you know, where they would head out to conquest the land there. You know, you think of what God did here. It's pretty amazing, but you imagine the enemy on the other side of the Jordan thinking, "How are these Israelites? I know they're coming. I've heard that they're coming. But we've got time. We've got time before they pass over the Jordan," and God opens up the door and bingo, they're in there. You know, they're just there. God puts His people there. It's pretty amazing. And they would set up these stones here of remembrance. And then verses 21 through 24, we see some purpose for this as well. "Then He spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." So I think ultimately, if you had to say, what is the ultimate reason why God would do such a thing, I think it was to strengthen the nation. It was to encourage them. Because when they would get into battles, they needed to hang on. They needed to be tough. And these stones of remembrance was just that. It was something to encourage them by, knowing that God was faithful then. And when we look at what reminds us of God's faithfulness, we certainly have His Word to stand on, just as we previously talked about. But I think there's three purposes overall. I guess you could say that the Lord would have these stones of remembrance for. One is to remind of God's faithfulness in the past and to give expectation for the future. All right, does God change? Absolutely not. So we can bank on it that if God was faithful here to Israel to bring them across the Jordan, that rough, raging waters, then certainly He can work in our raging streams, you know, in our lives. Right? And it gives us an expectation. God is faithful. No matter what happens to us, what we run into. Secondly, it was for the children of Israel, right? The little guys and the little gals to learn about the faithfulness of God and the experience of their parents. And thirdly, in verse 24, it says that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is weak. No, it says that it is mighty, right? That it is mighty, right? And I think, I mean, that's our mission, right? Our mission is to show people the mighty hand of God. We often have opportunities to show that when something happens and people go, wow, I can't believe you made it through that. It was the Lord that brought me through this. Understand that. It was the Lord that brought me through it. It was His mighty hand that brought me through this. And I think we have opportunities so often, more than we know, right? I think we need to look for them. Need to look for them. You know, we need to ask, Lord, how can I impact this person I'm talking to now? Lord, you know, have you ever done that in a conversation you're having with somebody? And you're like, Lord, how do I get you in this? Because really, that's, you know, obviously, I think in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, we should always be trying to get the Lord in there, right? To encourage us and to glorify Him and honor Him. But I think as we talk to the unsaved, you know, it's nice to have conversation. And one thing about this guy on the radio today that was talking, he was telling about people have the right intent. Many Christians have the right intent when we say that, you know, your Muslim God and my Christian God, and we're not too far off kind of thing, right? We're trying to make everybody happy. The intent is to get along, right? The problem is that you're sparing the truth from them, right? So I think our intent is, Lord, whoever, if it's a Muslim guy, Buddha guy, or whatever, right? But we should always be asking the Lord, Lord, here I am in a conversation with this person. How do I get the truth into them? How do I get you visible and me less visible, right? So that's always a challenge, right? But we have a great memorial, right, in the Word. It's a wonderful memorial. It's right. I mean, Jesus is the rock. He is the rock, right? And so we just need to share it. That's what one of its purposes is. To encourage you that God is faithful. To teach our kids that He is faithful. And then to show the mighty hand of God to those that aren't saved. Amen.